Welcome to the Clubland program here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Big show for you today. We've got to get to our special guest in just a moment, right off the top of the show. After the first break, we're going to talk to Jason Charles from Football Federation Victoria. He's the participation manager down there. We're going to talk to him about club ambassadors and what they can do for your club. And I'm sure all of our Victorian clubs and even our clubs right around Australia will want to know what their respective Football Federation's club ambassadors can do for them. And then in the third segment, we're going to chat to, we're going to have a little panel discussion, as we always do, and we're going to talk about the benefits of kids playing football, and not just so they get better at playing football, but the other sort of other benefits that you get from playing
if there are any in a
competitive team environment, being a part of a club. But first, our special guest off the top of the program, you play for Sydney United and Manchester United in youth football. In senior football, Sydney United, Manchester United, Aston Villa, Chelsea, the Central Coast Mariners, Sydney Olympic, and he played 17 times for the Socceroos. Of course, I'm talking about the great goalkeeper himself, Mark Bosnich. Bozza, welcome to the program.
Good evening, boys. How are you?
We're good, thanks. Chris Appleford here, Morris Bassetto and Tim Payton in the studio. Tell us about what junior club did you play for and what was it like?
Well, there's one club you missed out. Well, two, actually. The first club I played for was a local club called Hayduk. And then after that, then it was Marconi.
Yep.
Then it was Sydney Croatia, or Sydney United, as you call it now. So
yep.
For me, it was fantastic. At Hayduk, I used to play a bit of outfield, but then I wasn't good enough, so I went all the way back to goal. And then I was very, very fortunate at Marconi and Sydney Croatia to have a goalkeeper training, Ron Corrie, who was unbelievable. He's the best goalkeeping coach that I've had anywhere in the world, and completely ahead of his time. And he really taught me everything and allowed me to train with the first team. So that was a wonderful experience. And you know, it gave me such an advantage, especially, you know, going over to England. And, you know, I'd already been, you know, like I said, training with first-team players. So, of course, that really did help you.
Bozza, Tim Payton here, mate. Welcome to the show.
Timmy, pleasure.
Mate, where did it all start for you? Was it a family influence? Was it a friend? Was it just kicking the ball around in the primary school?
If I'm brutally honest, I would have, you know, if I was allowed to play what I want to play, I would have played rugby league because I was suited to it. I was fast. I was better with my hands. Played cricket in the summer. But it was my mum, really, who turned around and said, there's no way you're playing rugby league. So that was that. And then, you know, like I said to you, I said, okay, well, I'll try with the soccer thing, but I had pace, a lot of pace. I could do it 100 metres in just over 11 seconds. That was fine. But in terms of the skill, no way. But I was always good with my hands. So like I said, I went back down and found my little niche in goal.
Mark, Morris Bassetto here again. Welcome to the show. We love talking to pros and superstars of the game about their early formative years. You mentioned earlier you started as a player and then moved to goalkeeping. How old were you when you decided goalkeeping is what you wanted to do? Maybe what was the trigger for that? And then when did you actually realise that you could actually make a career out of being a goalkeeper?
Well, when was the trigger for that? Like I said, I was probably, I don't know, around about 10 or 11. And like I said, I was okay outfield, but I was nothing spectacular. But when I went into goal, I was good at it. And then basically, like I said, as soon as I met Ron Corrie at 12 years of age, and then he took me at 12 years of age up to Marconi after the first team. And then I remember taking shots from first team players at 12 and doing well. So then I thought, I can do this. And then, of course, in terms of playing over in England, like a lot of people, watching Craig Johnson lift the FA Cup in 85-86 to complete the double and scoring at Wembley for Liverpool, I was like, I want to do that. So I was very, very fortunate to be able to do that.
It's amazing the amount of kids that that reference Craig Johnson from your era, Bozza,
yeah,
as their influence. What influence did he have back in those days of being a bit of a role model for the kids, much like the golden generation of 2006 had?
Yeah, well, he was playing for, you could say, arguably one of the best, not arguably, one of the best teams in the world, arguably the best team in the world, had been so for like 20 years in Liverpool. And watching Match of the Day on ABC and watching the European ties on SBS early in the morning, just, you know, I think that was the inspiration. Like I said, just watching him at Wembley on that late Saturday night, that time in May, you know, watching him lift the European Cup, you know, against Roma in Rome, you know, back in 84, this can be done. So I think that's really the type of role that he played. In terms of the golden generation of 2006, a similar thing would have occurred in terms of Australia, because it's been so long since we've been to a World Cup. So probably a lot of young players would have looked at that and said, look, you know, we can, you know, Australia can do it. You know, they can get to the finals and make the knockout rounds.
Bozza, we talk a lot about this show. Obviously, it's clubland and grassroots football. And yeah. We quickly work out that, you know, the key to most successful clubs are really the parents and the volunteers, but also an important yeah. part is the coaches. And you've mentioned in your career, you know, Ron Corrie, and obviously yeah. as a professional, you've played under the best, you know, including, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson. Have you ever shifted your mind or had a go at coaching yourself? And where is that in sort of in sort of your space at the moment?
Yeah, no, not really. You know, I mean, a lot of people, including my father, said, you know, why don't you go do your license? And I said, but look, it's very, very difficult when you've played under the very best and you've kept diaries and you've watched them close hand and you sort of know exactly what goes on to sort of, you know, to get around, to get your head around the fact that you have to go pay 20 grand then to take a license from somebody you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Maybe one day for me, but in terms of actually being a manager or a coach, no, I'll always help out somebody if they really want a one-on-one session or some advice, but I think I can just share so much more by being in the media from my experiences to help people. I think that's a much more valuable medium because it goes to so many more people, and I'd hate to be in the situation as well. Just say, for example, I had the Mark Bosnich camp and kids were coming with certain expectations, and just say there was 1,000 of them, I wouldn't be able to give them all the attention that I could give them by being on TV or talking here on radio. They can hear this is real, you know, they can see it. So I think that's the best way for me. You know, like I said to you, but if somebody turned around and said, look, I really need a session, or could you take a look at me, and I'll always do my best to help them. But in terms of doing it like that, and then when you're talking about, like I said, once you start taking people's money, you've got to give them exactly what they're paying for. Well, I can do that from TV because I can talk at, you know, in one place, like I will tonight on Bill and Boz, one place, one time, and it will go out to you know, hundreds of thousands of homes.
Yeah.
I can give advice to one person at a soccer camp and this, that, and the other, but then I have, you know, there's another maybe 500 to 1,000 kids where I have to, you know, I mean, it's just nearly physically impossible.
Yeah.
Basically, I'd have to basically train other trainers and sort of tell them and teach them things, but it's a massive undertaking, and I really haven't got the time to do that.
A whole lot of Bozza coaches, that'd be pretty cool.
That's another worry.
Hey, Bozza, Mo just mentioned that, you know, the common theme about great clubs are the volunteers and the parents around the clubs and the committee people.
They're everything. I mean, me growing up, if it wasn't for the likes of my dad and people like that, you know, working all day from 6 in the morning till 5 at night and taking us to training and sometimes taking the sessions, there would still be football, but it wouldn't be football as we know it. I mean, it was all those, a lot of migrant parents who had come over who gave their time and their effort for absolutely nothing and helped produce a lot of good players, including the Golden Generation, and passed them on to sort of, you know, like I said, to people who could go at it. So, I mean, I know how important that is. And they're the lifeblood of any club and are so important. And I just hope one day that the game gets to the point where those volunteers, even though they volunteer, they're still paid because they just do an amazing job for every club.
Boz, what advice would you give an up-and-coming little Bozza or little Johnny growing up out in the western suburbs of Sydney? What advice would you give him forging a career in football these days?
Days? Well, look, play all sports when you can because it helps with your athleticism. But when you're playing your main sport, whether that be whatever, if it's football, train very hard for 3 days a week, very, very hard, and practice a lot. And study a lot too, because that does help you. It helps you with your development and everything. And then if you get the opportunity, you go overseas as early as you possibly can.
Hey, Bozza, let's hypothetically, you're in charge of a club. You've got a blank sheet of canvas. What's the first thing you do to set up a club out in clubland?
What do you mean, a football club from an administrative point of view or from a footballing
point of scratch.
View?
From scratch, what's the most important thing you want to get right about that club?
Well, first and foremost, it would be facilities. So if you're saying hypothetically, I would have a look at what ground we're at and try to work out approximately how many people we're going to get and always look to, if those facilities are rented, for example, then you're going to have to look, okay, well, we're going to have to get a certain amount of people. So then I would structure it in terms of the team being good enough to get that many type of people. But eventually I want my own ground. And then from there, that's where you play, to the training facilities as well. Okay, you might not be able to afford to go into state-of-the-art training facilities, but what you've got to work with. You've got to make that as comfortable as possible, because that's where the hard work goes into. That's where you water the tomato, so to speak, and to make sure they're as best as they possibly can be, and also put together, like I said, let's have an aim of about 5 years to move into something absolutely fantastic, you know, like, because training facilities are so important. Then you talk about appointing a manager, somebody that's young, that's hungry, and understands where we are financially from the club's point of view. And then you look at, like I said, you look at other things. So you've got the manager of the football team. He'll have a secretary and assistant that he can rely on 100%, and so will I, that will be at the club 24/7. Other things, you know, other things that people don't realise, getting a kit man or a kit lady, whatever you want, making sure that the players have a hot meal, a nice hot meal, you know, ready for them straight after training. All those things are vital ingredients to make sure that the club starts on the right note. And then you could improve all those things, and you improve them step by step according to the resources that you have.
Fantastic, Bozo. Sounds like that's a template for any club looking to, in terms of A-League expansion.
Yeah, trust me, guys. But look, it's not rocket science. A lot of people try to make out that it's not rocket science. A lot of people try to make out that it is rocket science. I don't know why they do that. But sometimes I feel like just shake him. So, look, listen, don't try to make it sound more difficult than it is. It's not. It's a very simple game, and things are done right. The most important thing is that you've got people in the right positions that are doing things right, and you pay them well, and you make sure they do things right. And if they don't, they're out. It's simple as that. It really, you know, you get things right on the pitch, and everything else will flow. It really will. And that goes in terms of the crowd, in terms of your merchandise, everything. What you do on that pitch, whether it be on a Saturday or on a Wednesday night, that dictates to how basically the club will be perceived, how people individually at the club are seen. It's just, like I said to you, it's been forever. That's exactly... I remember speaking to Kevin Sheedy, who used to be the coach of Essendon and was the coach of GWS, and me and him had a bit of an argument because he had said something in terms of GWS, their crowds not being a lot, and he said something in reference to Western Sydney Wanderers, saying that the immigration minister, I think, was their recruiting officer. And I had to go at him. I said, look, there's no need to say that. And he goes, well, what's the secret? And I said, well, you should know the secret. You've been around sport a long time. We've got a winning team. At that time, GWS Giants were getting beat by 140 points. And I said, you know what? And people, I know, he goes, yeah, we'll have a winning team in 4 or 5 years. So that may be so. I said, but right now, the Western Sydney Wanderers, and they did, I mean, you know, they're winning. The first game of that first season against Central Coast Mariners, they had 8,000 people. By the end of it, it was chockers. They've got 18,000 members now. 3 years after inauguration, they went and won the Asian Champions League.
Yeah.
And that is key. That is everything. I don't care what anyone says. That is, like I said, you know, from that, you can build all around. But that is the key. That's the centre of the octopus, if you like, to hold everything together.
Bozza, we could talk for a long time, but I know you've got to go and do your show. Thank you so much for joining our Clubland program. I really appreciate you giving us your time.
No problem. Anytime, champion.
Mark Bosnich there, of course, a superb goalkeeper for the Socceroos and also Manchester United, Chelsea, Aston Villa, where he really made his name over there, overseas. Fantastic stuff. Could talk to him for a long time.